numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, how you doing? What's happening, party people? Ben Wilson in for the vacationing. Jeff Parlay, how you doing, Ben?
We're great, Gil. We're keeping the tradition, though, of a University of Missouri graduate.
That's right.
On the show all week. And we've got young Elliot Bauman in tomorrow, who is also a Missouri Tiger.
Oh, so. You're not in tomorrow?
I'm not. That's a bachelor party, Gil. Nashville. We've been drinking high quantities of water all week in preparation.
That's how it works?
We will see if that really even matters in the end, but I'm going to do my best.
I didn't know.
Give it the old college try.
As not a drinker, I forgot that that's what some do.
Not really either, so that's the issue.
Oh, I got you.
That's the problem.
All right. Well, we'll lose you tomorrow. Well, it's been fun, man.
This has been a blast, though. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, you know, in your honor, we will talk more college baseball today. Bradley Porras will join us. College baseball expert that he is, to a former college baseball player as well, it should be noted. He'll give his thoughts on the College World Series. Does he have a play in the regionals? You were kind enough. We'll recap your plays of the regionals coming up, and he's got thoughts on the national title as well. He has a lot of thoughts on that for sure. And again, this is one of these things. The College World Series ends up being a pretty convenient betting vehicle this summer because there is no World Cup. And once basketball and hockey clear. Oh, boy. We're going to need something besides baseball. Pro, that is. College baseball. Johnny on the spot. Will Hill will join us from the New York City cast. I'm sure he's talking a lot of Rangers these days on the New York City cast. Rangers get off the schneid yesterday. Not off the schneid, but out of the gate, I should say, with a 1-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Rolled them 6-2. Rust, maybe, for the Lightning? Some will say. We'll talk hockey, baseball, and basketball with Will Hill. His thoughts on NBA Finals game number one tonight. It's finally here, Ben. The NBA has decided to finally grace us with a game. Very exciting. I'm very excited. Bill Krakenberger, hour number two. Unscripted with the crack man. This is the case each and every Thursday morning. First, though, we do have a tennis play. So yesterday, both tennis plays hit. Bingo, bango. We like a day like that. The only days we've lost were the days where we only had one pick. The only 3 days we had one pick. Those are our three losses in the entire dealio. Or three losing days, I should say, in the entire dealio. But this morning we have a play. It still hasn't started because right now Iga Natalia Świątek is taking on Daria Kasatkina. And Świątek is up a set. And I believe they're on serve, if I'm not mistaken, in set number two. But Świątek up a serve. Oh, she's got three break points, does Iga right now. Here's the thing about Iga Natalia Świątek. Pretty good. As I've said,
I've heard.
Yes, we were a bit ahead of that curve here on a numbers game, as famously as people remember back in 2020 with the French Open. I said at the time she would win double-digit slams. I amended that some time ago to she will be the greatest player of all time, and people are like, "You are the master of exaggerating." Nope, I'm not. I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. She may very well be that when all is said and done. But Iga trying to win her second major now at the French, well on her way if she can get the break here in the semis against Kasatkina. But the second match of the day, and there's only the women's semis today, it's the American Coco Gauff against Martina Trevisan of Italy. And we are on Trevisan. I gave this out on Primetime Action last night. There was a stray plus 250 out there. But we'll give the consensus number at that time, which is where I got most of mine. At plus 244, most of my bets on Trevisan. And I'll say what I said on the show yesterday. Plus 244, people will view that as taking some wild kind of flyer. I don't view it that way at all. Looking at the data, getting all of my tennis bets, as we've said for years, based on the raw data. Yes, is there other factors, rest, you know, in terms of injuries or recent form? Who's been taxed, who hasn't been? Absolutely. There's other things that come into play. Raw data on these two young ladies is basically the exact same thing, 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, however you want to break it down, on clay. There is really no discernible difference. If there is a discernible difference, it might even favor Trevisan. But let's just say for matters of the show, it's basically even, and you are getting Martina Trevisan at plus 244, I believe it's Trevisan, by the way. Plus 244. So that is a play this morning. No disrespect to Coco Gauff. We love Coco. But you're giving me the plus 244 here? In a heartbeat. You like it, Ben Wilson?
Gil, I love it. Well, here's the thing. We talked about Trevisan in the previous round. I had her plus 170 when she faced Leyla Fernandez. And what's funny is in that match, she had significantly better 52-week and 6-month, 3-month numbers than Fernandez. Really, the only thing you could knock Trevisan for was that the competition hadn't been amazing. And she'd had a pretty weak draw, had rolled. But
and Leyla's had this, been really
and
amazing.
And Leyla's had been, yeah. So she had, I would have said, you know, you would have certainly given her a slight nod, but not. It wouldn't have made Trevisan a plus 170 dog. So it's funny how you go from plus 170. She beats Fernandez. She's already been in a French Open quarter before. This is her favored surface. And she is a really a traditional clay court specialist. And now you have essentially, as you just laid out, numbers go from Trevisan better to basically Trevisan equal. And the market goes from plus 170 to, as you got it, plus 244. Yeah. It just seems like the market is not buying this at all, and it seems to be, at least from a value perspective, like it the market should be buying it based on what we've seen.
And 4 days ago, we on this show, or at least on Twitter for those who asked, and I believe on Primetime we might have mentioned it as well, but certainly for those who asked all on Twitter, we had Martina Trevisan against Aleksandra, let me pronounce that correctly, Aleksandra Sasnovich. She was plus 100 May 29th, so what's that, 4 days ago. And we hit on that as well. So this is not the first time we have bet Trevisan in this tournament. Ben took her against Fernandez, which I did not. But we're taking her against Coco here. And everything you just laid out is absolutely logical. Not only did she not get shorter, she got longer. So Trevisan is the play as soon as this Iga match is completed. And Iga now up a break in the second set. So the Trevisan match is slated to go. I just want to get the exact time so that people know how much time they have to get in their bets here.
Showing 7:15 Pacific on my end, but this is going to be, I think, a half hour after Swiatek-Kasatkina, which it looks like, I mean, Iga's about to go up 4-1 up a set, so I would say you probably have about a half hour.
Okay,
so.
Let's call it a half hour.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just see the current number, by the way. I'm looking to see if Trevisan has dipped with any significance here from when I gave that out. I saw that it had dipped a little bit. Right now, Trevisan, it keeps dipping a little more and more. It was like in the 230s about 2-3 hours ago. Then it was the 220s. It's at 218, plus 218 right now. And Trevisan, I'd still play it.
I'm actually, like Gil, at Circa, I'm still seeing plus 235 right now.
So beautiful.
If you're in the Nevada jurisdiction, go for it. I know Dan Weston's written about this too. Like the Coco, I mean, we love watching Coco Gauff. But it's like, how do you quantify the rarely seen the American phenom that gets this ridiculous bump in the market for support just because she's one of the rare players that casual fans are going to watch? It's always one of those weird things. I don't really know how you're supposed to.
He's never been a believer. For those reasons, he's never been a believer in Coco. Yeah. He's always had a little cast of doubt on her. Coco will be great. Coco will win her share.
There's no Raducanu. Like, she's a legitimate player. I mean.
And by the way, just to, again, last thing on this. If Coco wins, I'm not going to be, like, terribly surprised either. The point is that this number is completely out of whack, and Trevisan has a great chance of winning it. I think she will win. So just want to, again, put that in context. Trevisan is the pick and a very strong one today, looking for her to win and get to the finals, which we believe will be to play the great Iga Świątek. All right, NBA Finals tonight. Last night on Primetime Action, which I do with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, we do this thing where we power rank best bets in a market. So we usually do this in the NFL season, where not only do we power rank teams, but then we power rank which bet we like the best in a certain market. So we took the NBA Finals MVP, and each one of us ranked 3-2-1 our favorite NBA Finals bet from a betting perspective, which has the best value. So my 3-2-1, my third favorite value bet in the NBA Finals MVP market, Jaylen Brown, 10-1. Jaylen Brown, we're showing 11-1 at DraftKings. Shop around. I think Jaylen Brown is the third best value bet in the NBA Finals MVP market because I do believe that if you look back at his stats in the Eastern Conference Finals, they were as comparable to Jason Tatum's, if not better in many categories, and yet you're getting exponentially better number on him than you do on Tatum. So Jaylen Brown, to me, is number three. If you believe the Celtics win this series, he's got to be included. Number two for me was Steph Curry, because there is a school of thought that if the Warriors win, And I was on DC radio a couple days ago, and the host Reese Waters said, he goes, if Steph Curry scores 4 points the entire series, they're going to figure out a way to give the MVP to Steph Curry. I do believe there might be some of that sentiment for Steph. That's an exaggeration, obviously, what Reese was saying. But because he didn't win it either of the previous three times, the fact that it was Andre Iguodala, the fact that it was KD the next two times, Steph doesn't have an NBA Finals MVP trophy, so some voters might be bending over backwards to try to give it to him. He's my number two value MVP pick. And number one for me, I've said this several times before on this show, Klay Thompson is still number one value for me at 15-1 because these are humans voting. And if Klay Thompson has two games plus where he is just lights out, the story's too good to pass up for some of these voters, in my opinion, which is to say that he ruptured his Achilles, prior to that blew out his knee and blew it out on the biggest stage of all against the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals 3 years ago. This would be the perfect arc story with bookends. So for me, it's Tatum third, Steph second, and still the greatest one is Klay Thompson. You have a 3-2-1, Ben?
I would include, I'm not sure if Thompson would be one. I would. Thompson would be a three for me just because okay. I think is all the reasons you laid out, you have to consider it. I would still say Tatum is a legit, I mean, I still would favor him in that spot, even though the value number isn't as great. And then I'd go Curry as well.
Yeah.
Call me Chalky, but I would take those three.
Call him Chalky. Call him Ben Wilson is what you can call him. College baseball with Brad Porras. We got picks after the break. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. We'll take about a few seconds and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Ben Wilson in for parlay this week. Ben, it is over. Iga Świątek is in the finals of the French Open, 6-2-6-1. Over Daria Kasatkina. And I just want to say this, and I'll take 10 seconds on this. Kasatkina has elite clay numbers. And in a world where Iga didn't exist, she might win this thing. But Iga is so off the charts good that she just destroyed her. 6-2-6-1. So we're off to the finals. Let's get our Iga futures home so we can take off some of the sting, all the sting of Carlito's not getting there. And this is from Carl Sack. Carl Sack, who is a gentleman who we've had on a numbers game many times. He comes in studio, and we basically say, now watch worldwide NBA markets move. That's Carl Sack. People know him as NBA guru as well. So Carl has come on the show. People have seen it before their eyes. He moves legitimately the market when he makes a pick here. He has texted me, and this take this for what it's worth, everybody. He said, Gil, Celtics should be favored. I'm betting the Boston series heavy. And betting Boston in the series heavy, I recommend all do the same. Sorry, I know you're a Golden State fan. That's from Carl Sack. He adds, P.S., good luck on Trebizond. He throws that in as well. So he's obviously listening. But that's the deal, guys. He's on the Celtics. So take that for what it's worth. A man who moves markets, he's on the Celtics heavy in the series. Now for some college baseball. Ben, ready for this? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's review what your picks were earlier this week, shall we? Your three
sure.
picks in the regionals?
I gave Oklahoma plus 235 to win the Gainesville regional.
That was plus 265.
All right, sorry.
Don't shortchange yourself.
Shortchanging myself. Plus 265. Notre Dame was plus 145 to win the Statesboro regional. I don't know if that's how they pronounce it, but the Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern's the host, and they're the third favorite in the regional. What else did I give out?
The other one was Auburn, plus 150.
Right. Plus $1.50 in their own. They are hosting that regional. So, yes, those are my three.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we bring in to help us along to go through the national odds as well. Bradley Porras, who used to play college baseball expert. Brad, how you doing? We have an old LinkedIn picture of you up on the screen. How do you like that?
Uh-oh. What's going on, Gil? I have no idea which one that is. I hope it looks good. Maybe it's my wedding. Maybe it's my wedding picture.
Oh, it could be. It could be your wedding picture. It could very well be. And tell Bethany hello when you get a chance.
Yeah.
All right. So Bradley.
Well, I mean.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you wanted Bethany's picks on this anyway. So,
you know. We'll go with yours. All right. Yeah. So you heard Ben earlier this week. Ben did a great job. You said it yourself. I showed him your text where you said he did a great job. You have very distinct thoughts, but not necessarily on regional bets. Do you have any bets region by region, or you're steering clear of those?
So region by region, I looked them over. I told you they sent me the numbers. You sent them. I looked them. I was like, I don't love anything. I don't love anything in any of the regions, but I did pull out three picks if anybody wants to go with it. And I think they're legitimate. They have a shot. It's good. But me personally, I wouldn't. I'm not running out to go get them. The first one, you know, Ben, tell me if you agree or not. I would go ahead and go with Gonzaga around plus 185 in the Blacksburg Regional. That's because in this format, you know, and Ben hit on it too, it's pitching is most important. And again, I'll probably talk when I hit on some futures. The two most important things to me is pitching and your path to Omaha is your path. And again, on these three I'm laying out, it doesn't necessarily matter about the path, but just here in the region. Virginia Tech's the host team. Their bats have carried them throughout the year. Virginia Tech's bats have been super hot, but Gonzaga can pitch a little bit. Wright State and Columbia are in the region. They're not good. I'm sorry we're going to hurt anyone's feelings, but they're not good. So I think Gonzaga, because they can pitch, they have a legitimate shot to win that region. LSU and the Hattiesburg Regional, I was telling you, Gil, I said, hey, if Ole Miss gets thrown in that region, they're winning it. They're winning that Hattiesburg Regional. LSU got thrown in just as good or better. They're the favorite at minus 125. They should probably be bigger because Kennesaw and Army, not good. So it's pretty much just LSU versus Southern Miss. I know Southern Miss has had a great year, but LSU is just deeper. You know, they've been exposed more in their park. Their players are a little bit more battle-tested. I think LSU should be a bigger favorite in that region. And then finally, in the College Park Regional in Maryland, Wake Forest plus 120. Sorry again, UConn, Long Island, no good, soft. Maryland, Wake Forest, that's pretty much it. I mean, should Wake Forest and Maryland are pretty much even at plus 120. Wake Forest is better than Maryland, Big Ten, or Maryland plays in the Big Ten. I mean, that's not a very good conference. I think Wake Forest has a legit shot to win that thing. So those are the three picks that I like.
All right, those are the regionals. The regionals start tomorrow, June 3rd, tomorrow, and they go through the weekend. So the regionals will be done by Monday night, and then the super regionals will start next Friday, be done by the following Monday night, and then the first day of the College World Series games will be Friday, June 17th. So this is every week from now on through the month of June. So get your regional bets in. Brad doesn't love those, but those are his leans on those. But now for the national title, you do have some distinct thoughts. Who you got?
So the most distinct thought I have right now, because again, I think on the national title, it's something that you really need to watch throughout the year, because you can get some unbelievable numbers if you're following along. You're saying, hey, this team's heating up, and if they get put in this regional, they can very well win it. So again, if you want to get the better numbers, you got to kind of be following throughout the year. But as of right now, I like Texas A&M a whole lot. I really do. I like the Aggies a whole lot. If you can get them 30, 35, 40 to 1, I love it. The regional is solid. Oral Roberts, Louisiana Lafayette. Louisiana Lafayette, if you want a little long shot flyer, they'd be a good team to hop on. And TCU. Oral Roberts is a dang good 4 seed. Louisiana Lafayette's good. TCU, they won the regular season, Big 12. But the Aggies are the better team. They have two legit, awesome, great starting pitchers. They win that regional. They're lined up with the Louisville Regional, Southeast Missouri State, Michigan, and Oregon. None of those teams scare me against the Aggies. That would then line them up game one in Omaha against either the winner of the Gainesville Regional or the Virginia Tech Regional. I think the Aggies can take it all the way there. That's why I love. I think the number is just way too high on the Aggies because they hit their offenses come around, and really, Jim Schlossnagel has turned that program around. The Aggies were not that good over the past couple years, And Jim Schlossnagel coming in over from TCU, going to be a lot of narrative in this regional with TCU in it. He's turned them around. They can hit. They have two great pitchers, and they're going to be hosting the regional, and they'll be hosting a super regional. So I like the Aggies a whole lot on the numbers you can get today.
Where do you stand on Stanford, Brad? Because Stanford, it's sort of like the LeBron was when he was with the Cavs, right? Or as we were just saying more recently in the French Open, where they had all the top seeds on one side of the bracket, and Tsitsipas had a whole half of the draw to exploit. He couldn't do it. But is Stanford kind of that team in the College Baseball World Series as you see it?
Yeah, so going back to pitching and pass, the farther you are away from Tennessee in this tournament, the better off you are. And Stanford is the furthest away from Tennessee. The only thing that scares me about Stanford, they're matched up for in the Super Regional against the College Park, where I think that Wake Forest could very well take Maryland in there, so that doesn't scare me at all. I think Stanford would take it. Is their regionals tough, man? The regionals tough. They've got UC Santa Barbara and Texas State as a 2 and 3. Those are two mid-majors, but those are two really good mid-majors. I think, call me the dang pessimist here, Gil, but the committee, they're all about the money. That's one of the main reasons Ole Miss got in. Mm-hmm. NCAA is all about the money. They take UC Santa Barbara, a good, very good mid-major. They take Texas State, a very good mid-major. And I just want to swing back over to Tennessee's regional. Campbell, the 3 seed, that's another phenomenal mid-major. Why do they put Campbell with Tennessee, the best team in the country, and then they go take UC Santa Barbara and Texas State and put them over with Stanford, try and knock some of those mid-majors out so they're not pulling as they continue to move up and make the Cinderella story? But I like Stanford. I like how far they are from Tennessee. I like the potential super regional they would get, but their own regional does kind of scare me. Do I think they win? Of course, yes. I do think they win. But they didn't get a cakewalk, for sure. They did not get a cakewalk up there in Palo Alto.
All right, so Texas A&M is your most conviction. We only have 30 seconds here, Brad. Just get, in 10 seconds, give me one other team that you might take a flyer on.
I think Ole Miss could still do it. I just want to say, last thing you give to me, don't bet the no against Tennessee. They're so good. They're good. They're phenomenal. Don't bet the no. Take a long shot flyer on someone else. Don't bet the no against Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee, certainly the best team out there. But there might be some value elsewhere. Brad, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Bradley,
appreciate it, Gil.
Bradley Porras, everybody. At Bradley Porras on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. Will Hill on the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, Jonathan Von Tobel's best bets all the way through the NBA Finals, Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at vsin.com/summer. Ben Wilson and I talking on the break because we have screens up here in the studio, and apparently the Queen's Jubilee is happening, Ben, and if these TVs weren't on here, I would have no idea this is happening on planet Earth. But apparently Her Majesty the Queen is having a jubilee, whatever that is.
I'm sure Will Hill's a big jubilee guy.
Yeah.
I had to guess.
So you think Will Hill's a jubilee guy?
Big jubilee.
We're going to find out momentarily. But you said that you were there in London, and you marched in New Year's parade there?
I marched in the 2008 London New Year's Day parade as part of the Homestead High School marching band.
Because you played what in the band?
I was the alto sax.
So I asked Ben, I said, well, if I threw you a sax right now, like, what would you play? And you said you have a penchant for playing sports TV themes?
Yeah, I would just start belting out the CBS March Madness theme song, followed by Round Ball Rock,
Kev,
followed by, I don't know what.
Kev, get a sax for us. Want to make this happen.
Yeah.
Round Ball Rock.
I would love to.
John
I haven't played
Tesh.
Saxophone in a decade. I would love to get a sax in here sometime.
Be awesome. Multi-talented Ben Wilson, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the New York City cast. It's Will Smith. Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing good, Gil. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I just got EGID pretty hard here, so I'm hanging in there. That was quite a performance from your girl. My goodness, that forehand. Oh my God.
She's the fastest forehand. She has a forehand that is like faster than almost every male player's forehand. It's ridiculous. You tell people what you had. You had a future on Casadkina.
Yeah, I had Daria 55-1 to win the French Open, and I got her to the semis, and it couldn't even really hedge. I mean, we were texting back and forth what the semifinal line might be. You're like, maybe -400. I was like, yeah, -400. I could at least, I don't know, maybe get something off it. Hope for a live line if she got down and she fell behind early. But no, that line opened, I think, -900, -1,000 some places. And she was good for it. I was just texting with the bear, Chris Felica, and he was saying she could have been -4,000 today. It still would have been short. There was just no chance for her to win that one today.
I love that Felica's texting all of us that he's on a cruise in the Mediterranean. He's like, you watching this? It's so great. Iga's now won 34 matches in a row. And oh, by the way, 50 of 52 sets. So that's what you were up against. Sorry about that, man. What can you
do? Me too.
All right, New York City Cast. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book, and I just want to, I'll segue into you here, Will, with this. By the way, you can follow Will on Twitter at Not The Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast. This is New York Mess 16. He says, it sure looked like rust last night from the Lightning. The plays were there, but the passes not crisp, and the communication was off on both D. As both Ds go behind the net, leaving front open several times. As a Rangers fan, I'll enjoy the victory, but the series far from over. Well, that's for sure when you're playing the two-time defending Stanley Cup champ Tampa Bay Lightning. I guess you're talking a lot about this on your pod as well. Do you have any bets, series bets on the Rangers? Did you dive into this at all?
I did. I took the Rangers to win in seven, and I do have some cup futures on the Rangers, 20-1, 25-1, so it pays to listen to the podcast. I think, once you're an equal team with the Lightning, not quite as good. If you could just get to a game seven, sort of like the Hurricane series, you get to a game seven, anything can happen. You got a good goalie, you'd be home. I think they got a good chance. Hey, you got to just win two out of the next five and you're home for a game seven. I think that's sort of the path here for the Rangers. It's funny. They're three games away from a cup final. This is the first time they've had a lead in the playoff series because they were playing catch up against Pittsburgh. I mean, down 3-1, down 2-0 game five, down 2-0 game six, trailed late in game seven. And then right off the bat, trailed Carolina 2-0, trailed Carolina 3-2. They finally got a little bit of a lead. It'd be interesting to see if they can kind of, you know, put the hammer down on what I guess tomorrow is game two and take a 2-0 lead and finally be in the driver's seat in one of these series.
Lanch, -110 to win it all. They got the 1-0 lead over the Edmonton Oilers out west. Lightning +325 down a game. Rangers +350. Oilers 9-1 down a game. Those per BetMGM. I'm going to ask you, I've asked every hockey guy we've had on this week this question. So I'm going to ask this for a third time. So people will forgive me for this. But I do think it is the pertinent question this round, which is, does it feel like with Vasilevsky and Shesterkin, and let me just caveat that by saying, maybe the Rangers found something against Vasilevsky yesterday, but does it feel like with those two goaltenders in the East that really the Western Conference Finals feels like the series for second place? Do you buy that despite the fact that the Avalanche are favorites to win this whole thing?
I wouldn't go that far. I think it's pretty wide open. And again, it's hockey. I feel like it's the most random of any of these sports.
Me too.
You know, the bounce of the puck. I mean, these goals just seem like, you know, so fluky at certain times. And one game, one series doesn't always, correlate to the next. So I wouldn't go that far. I think it's still pretty wide open. I wouldn't even count out the Oilers. I think the Oilers are pretty live tonight. I think they're what, +$1.60 or so. I would give them a chance to win that game tonight. I think that price is a little high.
Would you, if someone landed on those series prices right now? So yeah, tonight the Oilers are +155 game two of the Western Conference Stanley Cup Finals tonight. But the adjusted series prices, so the Rangers are a slight favorite now over the Lightning, just a very thin edge, you know, favorite after winning first game and going up 1-0. But you can get the Oilers at a pretty juicy price here for the series, +350. Lightning, by the way, +105. Rangers -125. Is there a, if you're landing on this right now and someone's looking to get in on one of the series prices, what's your favorite bet on that board?
Well, that's a good question. Good question. I will go with the Oilers. I think the Oilers, that's pretty good bang for your buck. Remember, they were down 1-0 against the Flames, right? Similar game one where it was a high-scoring game, a shootout. I think
9-6.
That game was 9-6. Yeah, and the first one in this series was 8-6, and then they won the next four. So, yeah, I think the Oilers are live here. I think the market's kind of underrated them, underestimated them this whole run.
Okay. basketball. Game one tonight, Will. This just in. Special numbers game investigation reveals that game one of the NBA Finals is tonight in Golden State, in San Francisco specifically, and the Warriors are up to 4-point favorites. So again, I'm hearing nothing but my man Carl Sack just said he's all over Boston. I'm hearing nothing but love from the experts on the Celtics, and yet a little tick towards the Warriors. 4-point game tonight. Totals at 212.5. Any play on game one? Any play on the series?
I took Warriors game one money line, and I took Warriors in seven. It's interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but Van Gundy's out for tonight, and Breen might be out for tonight. So it might be Mark Jones and Mark Jackson. I don't know how you felt. Game seven, Celtics Heat. It didn't feel like game seven without Breen. Mark Jones just didn't have that same energy. It was definitely a different feel to it. And it's kind of funny how these announcers are getting COVID. Coaches are getting COVID, but none of the players seem to get COVID during the playoffs. It's a wild coincidence.
By the way, is it confirmed that Van Gundy has COVID? Is that the word?
Yeah, out till at least game three.
Okay, so let me just say this, because they were literally when Breen was out with COVID and you heard Van Gundy and his hoarse throat. I was texting him. I was like, Van Gundy doesn't have COVID? Really? Is anybody listening to this? Clearly he had COVID. My goodness, that's the problem with this, is you can't, like, the lag in the testing, right, is such where you first get a negative even though you're experiencing symptoms. So it's so unmanageable. You're right. It won't feel the same without Mike Breen, for sure. Nonetheless, you took Warriors money line, Warriors in seven. Kelly objected to this yesterday when I said it, but I said to him, I go, I feel like there's a lot of Warriors disrespect. In other words, I'm not taking anything away from the Celtics. I get it. Really good basketball team. But like Celtics in five, people saying I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics won it at six the most. And I'm just like, did I miss something about the most beautiful thing in sports?
I'd be shocked if this goes any less than six. I think this is six or seven no matter what. So just pick who you like and take them to win in six and in seven. You'll come out ahead. I can't see this being a 4 or 5 game series. Now, Boston has done well in this matchup. You know, Smart bothers Curry. They have the size in the wings. They can switch. But I do think it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock for Boston going from Milwaukee, Miami. Their half-court offenses are both sort of broken. And, you know, just look, Giannis puts his head down like Derrick Henry and just gets to the basket. Miami wasn't a beautiful half-court offense. You mentioned it. This Golden State offense is beautiful. It's off the ball cutting. It's motion. It's passing. I think there's going to be a little bit of like going from a knuckleballer to a guy that throws 99 tonight. I think the Celtics are in for a tough night tonight. I think they'll have their moments in the series. I think these teams are very evenly matched. If Boston had home court, I would probably favor Boston. I just think this is a long series, and the tiniest of edges to the Warriors just because they do get a game seven and a game one at home tonight.
Yeah, I do. I mean, and I do buy that the Celtics' length can bother the Warriors to some degree, like where other teams couldn't. I buy into that to some degree. But again, just I'm amazed at the seeming uniformity of Celtics love that I've just anecdotally on both shows this week. That I'm hearing. So would it surprise me if the Celtics won a deep series? No. But Celtics in five? What are we talking about here? Like, when did that happen? You have an NBA Finals MVP play as we go to break?
I think it's going to be all chalk. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, doing content and coming up with long shots and actually picking one. It's hard to get past Curry or Tatum.
Okay, fair enough. Will Hill, New York City cast, at NotTheWillHill on Twitter. Get his baseball thoughts and baseball picks. On the other side, full slate of major, well, not full slate, but Major League Baseball in full effect today as well. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code VSIN200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run. Regardless of your bet's outcome, enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Eligibility restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Skill Alexander, we get tweets. Don't forget Bill Krakenberger coming up at the top of the hour as well. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback, people going nuts over Iga. This is from Joby. He said, curious if you saw the recent article about the current state of sports betting written by Adam Chernoff of Covers. Would love to hear Bill Krakenberger and your perspective and how sports bettors can protect themselves against increasingly unscrupulous operators. Joby, I definitely have thoughts. And let me just sort of tease tomorrow's show. James Salinas will be on tomorrow's show here on A Numbers Game. James Salinas, you may or may not be familiar with, had that incident with Barstool that is referenced in Adam Chernoff's article where he wanted to make an NFL draft bet. They were chesty about it. They came back and they said, well, you can't have it for this amount. You can have it for a lower amount. Then they said, and James was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then they went ahead and they changed the odds on him, to which James said, thank you very much. Give me back my money and I'll just be on my merry way. James will be on to update that story. The story has moved along into its next phase, and James will be on the show to talk about that tomorrow. So not only will we address it, we will actually have James on tomorrow to do so. So that should be fascinating. As I try to get back into my phone to read more tweets here, this is also from, let's see here. This is a whole bunch of Iga. It's overrun with Iga. Forrest Buckner. Thought the game spread might be in doubt when Kasatkina broke her game 3-set 1. Oh, how foolish I was 1 hour ago. Bruce Dobigan wants to inform me about the Queen's Jubilee. He said, the Queen is the first British monarch to reach a platinum jubilee, rule Britannia. There you go, Ben. First queen to have a platinum jubilee. I still have no idea what that means.
All right. That seems like something.
Tony at T-Touch 23. Thanks, Gil, for the college baseball chat today. Always on point as usual. We love college baseball. All week we've been doing it. Isles 19, how about our girl, Iga? Gil, you were all over her from the very beginning with her. She is amazing. Thank you for all the winners at Roland Garros. You are very welcome. Hopefully we'll get another one here momentarily. Taking a long shot on Martina Trevisan. Will Hill is with us. Will Hill was like, let's talk about anything but Iga because he had a Kasatkina future. So, Will, I don't even know what you're talking about. We're not even going to talk about that. I'm not going to bring it up. But you wanted to say something else about the NBA Finals MVP, though, before we moved off that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, look, just for the sake of conversation, it's worth bringing up some of these guys. Marcus Smart, would he be worth a look just because he's defending Curry? You know, we saw Iguodala win the award, what was it, 7 years ago, 2015. I think controversially, I thought either Curry or LeBron should have gotten it. I mean, LeBron still averaged 37 in that series. They gave it to Iguodala for guarding him. Could Smart win it because he's guarding Curry? He shoots a lot. I mean, he shoots too much. I think a lot of people think, you know, I'm seeing 45-1 on him. Jaylen Brown's the one that's probably realistic outside of the big two, just because there's not that much of a difference between him and Tatum. I remember the conference finals markets where Tatum was minus money and Brown was like 12-1 heading into game 7. I thought that was a little high. So Brown's one that could realistically win it. I don't know. Wiggins 25-1. I would need more. Draymond 18-1. I would need more. Horford 90-1, just because of the sentimentality. You know, he's never played in the finals. Most postseason games without appearing in a finals, is that worth a look? I'm curious what your thoughts are. And again, there's a difference between, you know, doing a segment, doing content, and actually going through it and making a bet that has some EV value here.
Yeah, like I said, if Clay would be the guy that I would probably bet on as the long shots. I might even take a Jordan Poole one. But no, I probably wouldn't take any of the longer shots in that. But I will say this, because we were also last night, we're going through not only MVP, but going through most points when the series is said and done, whether it's 4 games, 5 games, 6 or 7. Who will be the player with the most points? Who will be the player who ends up with the most rebounds? Who will be the player that ends up with the most assists? And the one thing that we kind of agreed on that we couldn't settle on who was, in at least one of these categories, one of these long, maybe even triple-digit dogs is going to be live late. Like, I don't know if it's Al Horford, 90-1 MVP, or 100-1 in three-pointers made. There was that category as well. Who's going to have the most three-pointers made by the end of the series? Like, you know, Horford was a really long shot. Grant Williams was 100-1. I'm not saying it's going to be those guys, but one of those types of players in one of those categories is going to be live longer than we think they will be. It's up to, you know, a smarter, better than me to figure out who it's going to be. But somebody, like, you know, somebody is going to overperform early, and you're going to be like, whoa, Derek White's having himself a series, right? Like, something like that's going to come up. So I wouldn't object to someone taking a flyer. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to, though, full disclosure.
Yeah, we saw it last series, right? I think Horford was 200-1 to have most rebounds, and I think that cashed. Butler was a similar price to have most points. Remember, he was hurt game three, was bad in game four and game five. He ends up coming out of nowhere to lead the series in points. So I agree. We're going to look back a couple weeks from now. Wow, that guy was, you know, 80-1, 100-1, and he was either right there or he actually won it. So I agree that they're at least worth looking at.
Who's your American League MVP right now?
Boy, that's a great question. Who would I vote for? Who do I think is would win at this point?
Who would Will Hill vote for right now?
Ohtani.
Who do you think would voters vote for now?
Judge.
Yeah, I think you might be right. We did a whole blind resume thing yesterday with Jason. It was pretty fascinating what it revealed with people, at least in the month of May. What are your baseball picks for today? What do you like?
Well, Ohtani and Judge going head-to-head in a couple hours here. We got a doubleheader. Now, the weather's shaky here on the East Coast, so I don't know if they'll get both of these games in, but game one is supposed to be Ohtani versus another potential award winner in Nestor Cortez, which it's crazy to say, but starting to think this guy is legitimate. I did play under, I think it's 3.5 in the first five between those two, the Yankee lineup. They scored some runs against Syndergaard the other night, but without Donaldson, without Stanton here, at least for the next couple days, I mean, they're signing Matt Carpenter off the street. Hicks has been an automatic out. Gallo, the same thing. They get nothing out of the catching position, shortstop position. So I did play under here. And like I said, Cortez, you're starting to really think, I mean, is he the real deal? I wonder if you pulled Yankee fans. I asked this question on the CityCast the other day. If you pulled Yankee fans, you gave them truth serum, and you had one game to win, and you had to give the ball to either Cole or Cortez, I wonder who people would pick. I think it'd be pretty split. I would still go Cole, but it's at least something to think about.
Well, we did that blind resume on Cole and Nestor Cortez yesterday. And, like, Garrett Cole's May was just off the charts. Like, have we gotten to the point?
He's become underrated.
Yeah, like he's become underrated all of a sudden. Like, shouldn't we be thinking about him?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's a couple things. He's making a lot of money. It's the contract. It's that bad game in the playing game in Boston last year. The spider tack. You know, he made excuses on opening day. The game started too late. So you hear people, you know, Cole pitches a good game. People are like, oh, I guess he found the spider tack again. Or, you know, he's gotten this rep that he's not a big game pitcher. You look at his postseason ERA. Even last year, you know, he's pitching with a bad hamstring. He has a bad game in Boston. His career ERA in the postseason is still 2.88, I think it is. So I agree. Cole's become a little underrated here. He gives up a few too many homers. And again, you don't love the excuses and all that, but I agree. I think Cole's become vastly underrated.
All right. What did you land on pick wise then?
Under in the first five here.
Under in the first five. Anything else today?
Yeah. I did grab the Mets at +150 and a little +1.5. How about that sweep of the Pirates sweeping the Dodgers in LA?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And the Dodgers had every opportunity. You know, bases loaded, nobody out. Second and third, nobody out. Just couldn't, you know, hitting into double plays, striking out. So I did grab the Mets here. The Mets seem to never lose. The Dodgers got swept by the Pirates. So I'll take the +150 and. I'm sure the Dodgers will be fine. I would worry a little bit about that pitching. I mean, they got nothing out of the Bauer contract. They didn't sign Scherzer back. It's not that prototypical, you know, 5-6 deep with Dodgers pitching when they had even Maeda as a swing guy, Rich Hill. They're kind of short on pitching. You know, Mitch White, Tony Gonsolin, Kershaw's hurt. This is a little worrisome here with the Dodgers pitching.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're still 33-17, and it's a long season, and that kind of thing's gonna rear its head. Like, oh, we got swept at home by the Pirates. Oh well, blip, you know. But it is.
I would think they'll go out and try to get Luis Castillo. That makes perfect sense for both sides. They're aggressive at the deadline. Castillo's a tremendous pitcher. You put him in that rotation, he'll win a million games with that lineup behind him. He's got great stuff.
Where do you think Juan Soto eventually ends up?
I mean, nowhere this year, but I would say.
He might end up being a Dodger too. That would kill me. Yeah. Like
Mets or Dodgers, either one of these two teams, because Cohen's is going to be about as aggressive as anybody. I'll go with the Mets. How about that?
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me either. Though he'd make a beautiful Giant, I'll tell you that. All right, so under in the Yankees first five, and then the Mets. Two ways, full game. What did you have in the Mets? Which way?
Yeah, I took them +1.5 for the full game, and I did take them +150 on the money line for the full game. I did bet Baltimore too. Baltimore's improving. They got Lyles against Flexen today. Mm-hmm. That lineup's not bad. I guess, you know, when you're the worst team in baseball for 3 or 4 years, you start to get some good players. So I did take an improving Baltimore today.
They got some great young players. Cardinals division price. Would you take them now with the Brewers injuries?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Two games back are the Cardinals. Obviously, Peralta and Woodruff out for the Brewers. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
No more ego, please. Enough.
Will Hill from the New York City Cast, whose futures went down today. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, next.